Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Like many of you, I've been spending quarantine trying to figure out ways to be productive. The things we could do, things we couldn't do. And I've heard many of you talk about this. I've been doing the same thing. I've been doing home projects, which means I have spent an abundant amount of time at big box hardware stores, Lowe's, Home Depot. And I'll be honest, man, I just like going in the stores. There's just, it taps into something in me. You feel accomplished. You feel like you know what you're doing when you actually can do a home project on your own. Maybe you don't feel that way, but for me, I love being a part of it. But I've noticed that I'm not really equipped for big box hardware stores, because when I go and I need a screw, like, I'm not prepared for there to be 8,000 different types of screw. When I need a light bulb, I'm not prepared for there to be an aisle that is the length of the store with different light bulbs. And so what tends to happen when I go into a hardware store, I go in with purpose, I go in with meaning, I know exactly what I need, and then I get to the aisle and I just freeze. And I just stare around because there are so many options. I cannot tell you, Wellspring, how many times I've bought a light bulb, brought it home, only to find out I got the wrong light bulb, or it had the wrong base, or it was the wrong color, or it was the wrong wattage. And so you'll be happy to know what I've started doing now is I literally would take the old light bulb, I'll take a picture of it, and then what I'll even try to do, because on Lowe's, like, you can, there's an app, and so, like, I'll try to find the exact light bulb on the app so that when I get into the store, I can match it up to make sure I know what I'm doing, because I'm just overwhelmed by the options. I'm overwhelmed by the choices. And when I can't figure it out, there's people walking around the stores in Lowe's, people walking around the stores in Home Depot, and you can ask them questions. You can find an expert to say, hey, there's so many options here, I'm not quite sure what I should do. And usually they help and they guide you and you get what you need. Now, I tell you that story because I'm convinced that most of us probably feel that way right now, especially if you've been following our series for the last 2 weeks, a series called Headspace. We have covered a lot of content. We've been talking about mental health. We've been talking about what God thinks about mental health. We've been talking about lots of options. And what we want to do today is just kind of pause and talk about what's next. And to do that, we are going to talk to some experts. In just a few minutes, I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with some local counselors that's going to help us sort of unpack and understand what our next steps look like if we find ourselves struggling with mental health in this season. But before we get to that conversation, what I want to do very quickly, especially if you've missed the last couple of weeks, is sort of get everybody back on the same page and remind us what we're talking about and why we're talking about this. So if you haven't already, make sure you download our app, especially if this is your first time joining us. This app is not only a great way to stay connected with our church, it is a great way to catch up on what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, because this is week 3 of this series and we have covered a lot of content. So to kind of bring everybody back on the same page, we are talking about mental health. And the way we've been defining mental health is this. Mental health is our ability to function effectively in daily life, specifically in these 4 areas. It's our ability to have productive activities. It's our ability to have fulfilling relationships. It's our ability to adapt to change. And it's our ability to cope with adversity. And what we believe is that the healthier we are mentally, the easier it is to do these 4 things. And what we've been talking about through the life of the series is that we can all admit right now, because of what we've been going through with COVID, through all the changes, that things are more difficult than they used to be. It is more difficult to function effectively in daily life. Maybe it's more difficult to be productive at work. Maybe it's more difficult to be productive at home. Maybe it's more difficult to find fulfillment in your relationships. Maybe it's more difficult to adapt to change. It's all we've done for 6 months is adapt to change. And maybe it's more difficult to cope with adversity. There's absolutely nothing wrong with feeling any of those feelings. And it's why we're talking about it as a church, because we are convinced that mental health matters to God. And because it matters to God, it matters to us. And mental health, just like physical health, comes in degrees. For some people struggling with a physical health struggle, the answer is eat better. Just like some people who are struggling with a mental health struggle, the answer is going to be take a nap, go on a vacation. For others, physical health struggles require a visit to a doctor and maybe a prescription. Maybe you have a fever, maybe you have an infection. It's the same with mental health. Sometimes our mental health struggles are going to require us to visit an expert to have conversations. Sometimes in physical health, the problem is so severe, the struggle is so great, we have to have surgery. Sometimes with mental health, the struggle is so great, we require medication. It's exactly the same. It works the same way. But for some reason in our society, we've attached a stigma to mental health struggles that we as a church are desperately trying to erase. And one of the ways we've done that is we keep going back to Jesus and pointing out how much Jesus cared about mental health. The very first week of this series, we learned that Jesus is passionate about mental health when he said these words. He told us that the thief, he's talking about Satan, talking about the devil, talking about our enemy, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. And if you were with us week one, you know we equated mental health with what Jesus was talking about, life to the fullest. Because what Jesus did in that passage is he explained the cause of not only our mental health struggles, our physical health struggles, every struggle we have, it's sin. And sin came into the world through Satan, who is a thief. And when sin came into the world broke. And that's why Jesus came to rescue us, to fix what sin broke. And the reason Satan tried to do that, the reason Satan tried to come into the world and hurt us is because he's a thief, because he wanted to steal from us what God offers, the goodness of a relationship with him. It's because he wanted to consume and devour us for his own selfish motives. And it's because he wanted to destroy us because God loves us. And it's through that sin that came into the world that our environment, our genetics, and our choices were broken. And it's through Jesus that we can find hope and healing in all three of those areas. And it's why for the entire series we have been hammering one point when it comes to mental health, and it's this: it's okay to not be okay. Our world isn't okay. Our world is under attack from a thief. Sin came to destroy. And Jesus says he came to give us life to the full. That's why we've been saying, hey, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. It's not okay to stay trapped. It's not okay to stay defeated. And as I said last week, that is not an indictment on our behavior. That is an invitation to our Savior. It is an invitation to walk into what he offers. And last week, we figured out how big a deal this was to Jesus. Mental health isn't a side issue. Mental health isn't something that's an add-on. Jesus taught us last week that mental health is the most important thing that we can do. And if you missed it, I want to go back real quick and I want to share this verse with you because it's so freeing to know that we have a God that cares so much about our mental health. Here's what he told us last week. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. As we learned last week, heart refers to our thoughts, refers to the way we think and the way we act on the world. He says, we must love the Lord the God with all our soul. He's talking about our feelings. He's talking about our emotions and all our mind, talking about our decisions. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. The first thing I want to ask you to do, the most important thing you can do is be free to love me with all your thoughts, with all your emotions, and all your decisions. And as we said last week, what Jesus is saying there is he's saying, this is what I want for you. So if this is difficult for you, come to me, come to your Savior, come to the one who says, I will give you rest. Come with your burdens. Come to me and I can help you. It matters to me that you're struggling. It matters to me that this is difficult. I know a thief came to break it, but I came to set you free. So if you're at home today and you're struggling with, do I matter to God? Do my struggles matter to God? Do these issues matter to God? He would say, they mattered so much, I sent my son to rescue you, to set you free in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, to set you free to be able to follow Jesus with all you have. And then as we saw last week, it's not just us. Jesus adds this command. And he says, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. What he's saying is, I don't want this just for you. I want this for the world. And so that's where we left it. Last week, we left it discovering how much God cares about mental health. That the reason he sent his son was to set us free from a thief. And that what his son wants for us is to be set free to love him with all we have, with every ounce of our mental health, struggles, issues. He wants us to be complete and full and whole to the best of our ability, and to the best of his ability to follow him. So what do we do? We come to this moment last week, and maybe you're here this week. You feel like you're in Lowe's. You see all the options. You don't know which one to pick. If you were with us last week, you know Abby and I talked about a new program we're starting at our church called Mental Health Coaching. And if you are ready, if you say, hey, I know I want to have a conversation, you can reach out right now. Reach out through the app, send an email, fill out the survey. We are ready and willing and able to have that discussion. But I know for some of us, me included, we still need to see the big picture. We need to know what all the options are. We need to understand how it all works for us to be able to make the best choice for us. We've heard all this. Here's what we need to know. What's next? And that's why I had the conversation I had this week. I had a conversation with some local counselors, some local experts, to lay out what counseling looks like, how to know we need it, and how to step into it. So today, if you can admit, you know what? It is a little more difficult to function. It's a struggle. I don't know how difficult. I don't know how severe. I don't know if I just need a walk. I don't know if I need a conversation. I don't know if I need medication. I don't know. You have picked the perfect day to join us, because we had a conversation that I hope will give you a path to answering those questions. So let's check it out. All right. Well, you know, as I said, we've got some special guests today. We're going to have a conversation with Ron and Roberta Bogle. They are the directors of the Center for Counseling and Wellness. And we have them here today to really talk to us about what's next, to talk to us about, okay, when we think we might have some mental health struggles, some mental health issues, how do we know what to do with them? How do we know where to go? And so, first of all, I want to thank you guys for being here. And kind of before we dive in, I want to give you guys a chance to sort of introduce yourselves to our church. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got into counseling to begin with, how you got into wanting to be a place to help people.
Okay. About 10 years ago, I was an associate pastor at a church in North Myrtle Beach. And all of these people would come in with really deep-seated problems. And they didn't have $100 to pay a counselor. They didn't have insurance. So, of course, the first thing I did was, God, what are you going to do about this? So God does what he usually does, and he turns around and he goes, Ron, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So I decided, and we found a building with 12 offices. We opened it just with Roberta and I and every dime that we had in the bank. And so for the first year, it was all volunteers, just her and I. And God has so blessed it that today we have 5 offices. We see over 300 clients a week. We last year were able to give away over $258,000 worth of free counseling.
Wow.
So our motto is, our mission is to bring help in healing and hope to change relationships. Mm-hmm. It's been an unbelievable ride, and God's blessed us in every step.
When we opened, as Ron said, it was just me, and we had an intern. And as we started expanding, I realized that taking care of the counselors was a big piece of how we were going to grow. Mm-hmm. So not only do we want to make it great for our clients when they come in, but we wanted to make it great for our counselors. Mm-hmm. So happy counselors lead to good therapists right. who can help their clients better. Right. So we have right now 5 interns. One thing I love doing, and God gave me this gift, I guess, because I come from a family of lots of teachers. So the practicum and internship students mm-hmm. are how we grow our counselors. Many of them stay with us when they're done. We get to kind of see what they're made of. They get to see what we're made of, and that all kind of grows together. So that's how we can offer services to anyone, mm-hmm. even if they don't have insurance. God has just blessed us with some really, really great people doing counseling there. And I'm honored to be the clinical director.
So yeah, we love the fact that one of the things that you guys just talked about is wanting to make counseling affordable, wanting to make it accessible. You know, as a church, we're passionate about that as well. But one of the questions I think people have, even if it's affordable, even if it's accessible, counseling just feels intimidating to an outsider. You know, we all just know what we've seen on television. You're going to have to go in, lie on a couch. And so, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you just sort of talk about what counseling looks like? Like, what would someone experience if they were to come make an appointment and just sit down and talk? How do you guys start that process?
Well, I was just going to say that when I, it is intimidating. And especially like a man, it's almost like we have to give up our manhood to go mm-hmm. in and submit to counseling. Well, that's not true. And if I can speak a little bit about myself, about 40 years ago, if it wasn't for a good Christian counselor, I wouldn't be here today. And what I had to realize is that my grandmother had depression, my mother had depression, and guess what? I have depression. Right. So I need to take medication, and I'll be taking it the rest of my life. Once I realized that was okay,
yeah,
I was home free.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we committed to when we first started was that we felt it was very important if someone calls in, there's a person to talk to on the phone. Mm-hmm. We didn't want them getting an answer machine and have to press 3 different things. So we hold to that today. And you can talk to one of our front office staff people who are trained in how to talk to you about whatever. They won't ask you invasive questions, just kind of get general information. And their job is to put you with the best counselor mm-hmm. based on what your needs are and go from there. So coming in, we make it very inviting, I think. People will walk in the front door and say, did this used to be a house? So we don't want it to look like a doctor's mm-hmm. office or anything like that. We just want people to come in. And our first job as a counselor is to establish rapport, so to build the relationship. So it's very important that people have a good experience. So we are focused on bringing you in, making it a good experience, and we want you to come back so you can get everything that you need.
And I think I kind of look at it like, you know, Jesus at the woman at the well.
Yeah.
They use that as an example mm-hmm. of the perfect counseling session. He accepted her where she was. He knew everything about her. He didn't condemn or degrade what she'd done. And he offered her ways to change her life, the living water. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we do. I don't think we're very threatening.
Yeah.
And then also when we hire counselors, they actively have to be involved in their church. So I will call their pastor and make sure they're actively mm-hmm. involved because we pray together. We are in counseling sessions and maybe we don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. And so subconsciously we're going, please, Lord, give us an answer. And he does,
right.
because there is no healing without him.
Right.
So you may not know it or not, but our counselors are praying for you.
And then one thing with COVID-19, we've stepped up the telehealth option. So we were doing that prior mm-hmm. to COVID-19, but that really came to fruition. Some of our counselors are totally online. Mm-hmm. So if you're not comfortable meeting face-to-face, especially at this time, and some people are more comfortable mm-hmm. Just talking right. on their computer or their cell phone, we have that option.
And when people call in, do they normally come once? Do you go ahead and say, start coming every week, every month? Like, how do you guys decide how often to see someone?
Yeah, it depends on the extent of what's going on with them. Most of our people we definitely see more than once. An average course of treatment is probably 12 to 15 sessions. Mm-hmm. I have clients that have been coming for 8-9 years, like since we opened. That doesn't mean that they're not successful. These people just have a whole lot of stuff right. going on in their life, very complicated cases. And some people will come for a time and then take a break, maybe even for a few years, mm-hmm. and then come back again, just like you might go see mm-hmm. your primary care doctor and not be well for a few right. years and then have to come back.
So when people come to see you, in your experience, do most people have the ability to tell you what's wrong, or do they just know something's wrong?
That's a good question. I think they definitely know something is wrong. Yeah. Many people have been in counseling before, so they come in and they know what their diagnosis is. They know what they've been trying to do to fix it. Other people, it's the first time, and they don't know. So we have a lot of assessment tools we can use to help people understand what's going on with them.
And then speaking for myself, I remember when I went through my change, I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Life wasn't working. And everything I did, even though I was successful in the physical world, I wasn't at peace.
Right.
And so I really knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what to do. Well, what the therapy did for me was it like turned the light bulb on. Yeah. Once he helped me understand what triggered what I was feeling, it was like that aha moment.
Yeah.
And now I know what to do with it because I know what's triggering it.
Right.
And that was the big benefit for me.
So I want to follow up on that because one of the things we've been talking about as a church, and it's not our definition, but you know, we defined mental health as the ability to function effectively in daily life through productive activities, fruitful relationships, the ability to adapt to change and cope with adversity. And you know, a lot of people right now, we've been talking about it, are finding that difficult. To currently in COVID, specifically through anxiety and depression, that we're seeing that more and more. And so one of the questions I'd have for you is to help our people, how did you know, okay, this isn't just normal things happening in life. This is something that I need to go have a conversation with someone about. What elevated that in your mind to know you needed to take a step?
What happens is, all of us have little, I call them rocks in the roadway, mm-hmm. or little bumps in life. That's normal. I mean, he tells us that. Mm-hmm. But what happened with me is those bumps became boulders, mm-hmm. and depression and anxiety set in. And there were mornings when I literally would have to take my pants leg and lift my leg off the bed so I could get up and get moving again. It was at that point that I realized I had no answers for me, and I needed to get some help.
So yeah, when you're not functioning in your daily life, getting out of bed, going to work, sleeping well at night, when those things stop, you're only sleeping a few hours, you're ruminating on the same thoughts over and over, you're not doing the things that you know you need to be doing to be productive and to have those, maintain those relationships in your life. You know, we do a lot of marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. I often share that we wouldn't be married if it weren't for some really good Christian counselors right. along the way. And, you know, relational problems are huge red flags for maybe you need to talk to someone. Sometimes it's very difficult, as Ron was saying. Sometimes it's a huge boulder. It's a mountain by the time they get into counseling. So the sooner you can recognize those things and get into counseling, the better, because so, it hasn't grown to that point.
So you said something. You said relational problems can be a big indicator. Unpack that. What sort of relationship problems?
Well, certainly arguing, fighting, shutting down, not talking to each other, not working together, supporting each other, especially if you had a good relationship and now it's falling apart. With the COVID, we're seeing that. There's a change in routine. So sometimes people are together more than they're used to. Maybe there has been a job loss, a major change in routine. Children with the school situation, that's got everybody way off right now. not knowing what's going on. And a lot of that not knowing, and then we typically take it out on the people closest to us.
Right. So I want to keep talking about this because I can hear our people at home sort of having this line of dialogue on their head. Well, if that is going to mean I should go to counseling, then I should just go to counseling every week, you know? But I tend to agree, especially in this heightened season. And so for people who are like, yeah, we're just fighting more. It's harder to do this. It's harder to do that. To then jump to, but you need to go to counseling because it's such a hot topic in our culture. It feels like it's this big jump. Help close that gap and show, like, why is that the most reasonable, rational step to take?
So I would say if the tools that you had been using to maintain your relationships and get along in life and be okay, if those tools aren't working or they're not enough, counseling can help you identify what you might need to add.
Yes. So new tools for the tool belt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe even new problems that have come up that you haven't faced before, and we can help with those kinds of things.
And you know, sometimes I will make a change and she'll go, I've been trying to tell you that. Why didn't you listen to me? And I go, well, because you're my wife. So a stranger tells me and I listen.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard for husbands and wives to do that. And even today, we have a third person who we totally trust that if we reach an impasse and we agree to disagree, we will go to that third person. Mm-hmm. And when she was saying about how long people usually spend in counseling, with what you were talking about, sometimes they'll just come and two or three sessions and then we'll tell them, you know what, you've got the tools.
Right.
It's not that big a deal now. Right. Go use them. And then we have couples that come back, what they call it, once a month tune-up, where they just come in and they just want to sit and talk, or they've had an issue and they need a third party. Mm-hmm. So going to counseling doesn't mean you're going to be there for the rest of your life.
Right.
You could be there 2 or 3 weeks, or in her case, some people, they'll be there for 8 or 9 years.
But I love what you said, Roberta, about when the tools you were using stop working. Because again, like we're talking about marriage, but even in parenting or in life, we got to where we are because we could function and something was working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really great way to think about it. It's like, because I say it all the time, I don't get it. I'm doing the same things. Nothing's changed. Why is this harder? And what we would do in any other area of life is we'd go ask an expert. You know, if we were taking care of our own house and the AC stopped, like, well, I've tried to fix the AC the same way 5 times and it's worked 4, but it's not working this time. We finally call a repairman, right? Call someone
else.
And so I love that picture for our folks. And then is when those things don't work anymore, that is your opportunity to reach out. And I love what you said, that some people come 2 or 3 times. And I think that's another misconception, is that if you go to counseling, you're in counseling forever. But no, you're just going to an expert to get new tools. You're going to an expert to get new understandings. And then you're released to live those out, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you get back to that functionality, if the air conditioner is working again.
Yeah. All right. So as we begin to wrap up, I wanted to sort of end incredibly practically. Again, we've talked about, in light of all the changes, you know, anxiety and depression are two things that people are struggling, you know, almost everyone is struggling with it more than they ever have. So what are just some tools, practical next steps that you can give our people right now who think they may be feeling anxiety, they may be feeling depression for the first time? What are some at-home tools they can use to see if they can't find the ability to function in the midst of those struggles?
Well, from what I understand, Wellspring has an awesome program of coaching. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I would do then is I would go see a coach or a pastor and say, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then they will be able to tell you, is this just a little bump in the road? Mm-hmm. Or yes, because it's prolonged, I think you should go see somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's one way of telling. And the only other thing I wanted to kind of leave everybody with is, I know with me, with my anxiety and depression, I was given Paxil. And I try and tell people to come and ask me, I can't take pills because that's a sign of weakness. And what I try and tell people is, if you had diabetes, would you take insulin? Right. Oh, absolutely. If you had a strep throat, would you take an antibiotic? Absolutely. This is no different.
Right.
So there is no stigma mm-hmm. attached to it. Mm-hmm. And Paxil will help me the rest of my life, and that's where I'm going to be.
Some things for maybe lower level anxiety mm-hmm. and depression, which are more situational, mm-hmm. possibly like the COVID situation is kind of something that just happened to all of us. I like to think in terms of body, mind, and spirit, mm-hmm. or social connections kind of go in there with the spirit. And so addressing our bodies and making sure we're eating well, we're sleeping well. I take a whole bunch of nutritional supplements that help me. And as we age, they definitely become more important. So, you know, am I giving my body all of the things that it needs to function well? My mind, I start my day out with a daily devotional. I'm in my Bible. I'm in the Word every day. I address those thoughts that what I call stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. I've gotten pretty good at self-awareness. Ron helped me a lot before, where I'd be thinking something and he'd go, well, that's not a good way to think about it. So we can learn how to do that better on our own, but talking to someone often helps with that. And then our social connections and our God connection. God connection has to be there for us to have our social connections. And that's been a bigger challenge yes. with churches not meeting. And it's great being online, but it's just not the same as right. coming into church and giving a mm-hmm. hug. And so finding those other ways to be with friends and other supportive people mm-hmm. is really important. And so maybe stepping it up a level when you're in a COVID type situation mm-hmm. is enough for yeah. some people to deal with that anxiety and depression. But sometimes we need more, depending, like for us, we don't have children at home. It wasn't a big change for us. I just can't imagine what it's like for parents with kids at home and having to homeschool since the spring, and now we have this, and there's just a lot right. of stressors out there.
So again, I want to push on that because I love that. I want to emphasize that because what you just said was something, you know, for a stay-at-home parent out there who has just experienced this 6 months of change, and they've been beating themselves up because they can't handle it as well as they were. Things are more difficult. And the last thing they would ever think is I should go see a counselor. What they think is I need to read another book to learn how to be a better mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to get another book to be a better dad, because if I were just better, this would all be okay.
Right.
So explain what's happening to them in that moment. That's causing them to experience anxiety, causing them to experience the depression, that a counselor can actually help unpack, reveal, and allow God to actually heal.
And a lot of what we do in counseling is to mirror back mm-hmm. to the person what's going on in their life. And so they'll come in, they'll describe their situation, and in that process of describing their situation, they'll realize, like, everybody would be overwhelmed in right. this kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And so we call that normalizing. Mm-hmm. So we normalize the abnormal mm-hmm. situation. And that right there can help them feel a little bit better that they're just in an abnormal situation, which is why you're not feeling right.
Right.
And then to add on those tools, those ideas, get them thinking of ideas of how they can make it better for themselves. And we call that resiliency. Mm-hmm. And some people have a lot of natural resiliency and they figure things out. Other people need a little bit more help on getting ideas of how they can better balance their lives. And sometimes just letting go of guilt that they have to be everything to everybody yeah. all the time. And, you know, your kids can sit there and do their own thing for a little while you take care of yourself.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us today. But I want to thank you for what you do. I want to thank you for taking this seriously and for being a resource for our church and the people in our community. One of the things we talked about in the series is, you know, and you've mentioned it, we have an enemy, and he is a thief.
Absolutely.
And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we talk about how Jesus came to give us life to the fullest, and that means functional to our best ability. And He's given us the gifts of experts to help us, to let us go to talk through things, to normalize, to help remove the guilt, to help see who God really is. And I just can't thank you enough for being here, and I appreciate what you're doing. And if you're at home, I hope you are encouraged today. I hope you are inspired to take a step today. I hope you know that taking a step towards mental health is the bravest, safest thing you can do. And as your church, we continue to want to play a part in that. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have one more song, so let's check that out.